The Psalm 46, I draw your attention to the verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Martin Luther loved the Psalms. The Psalms especially became important to him whenever he had his troubles with Rome at the start of the Reformation. He translated all of the Bible into German, so he was familiar with scriptures, but the Psalms he especially delighted in translating. He called the Psalter the Bible in miniature. And 10 years after the nailing of the 95 Theses, the toils of Luther were immense. I know we are celebrating the 500th year, but the difficult year in Luther's life was 10 years later, 1527. He was fainting under the load of the work. His health was poor, and he was battling with various issues. But on the horizon, there was something else, the Black Death. The terrible plague that was scourging Europe and ravaging Germany was coming near to Luther at Wittenberg. Many were fleeing Wittenberg. Luther himself was urged to flee with his family, but he refused. He even brought the plague ridden into his home. Luther's manse became a hospital. He wrote that his family were living suspended in the midst of all sorts of troubles and all fears. That year was awful for him, 490 years ago. 1 month in particular, he battled heavy depression, and he wrote to his friend Melanchthon these words, "I spent more than a week in death and hell. My entire body was in pain, and I still tremble. Completely abandoned by Christ, I labored under the vacillations and storms of desperation and blasphemy against God. But through the prayers of the saints, God began to have mercy on me and pulled my soul from the inferno below." And it was at that time that Luther turned to the Psalms, as usual, for solace. And he sat down and he penned that great and well-known hymn, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God." That hymn was based on Psalm 46. Our helper he, amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. Psalm 46 brought him solace. And why did it do so? Because it tells about the present one. Verse 1. A very present help in trouble. The present one. Do you see that? There is a present help. God is present in the midst of troubles. And that's what I want to speak about this morning, the present one in the midst of troubles. It's a good psalm to turn to, brethren and sisters, in trouble. It's one of the best. In fact, this psalm is the first of a trilogy, Psalm 46 through to Psalm 48. They're often grouped together in the minds of the commentators. And the three psalms are thought to belong to that terrible time in Jerusalem's history when a vast army was outside the walls, mocking Hezekiah, mocking and threatening the people. And the people were in the midst of the siege. They were surrounded by the adversaries. They were surrounded by the enemies. They were in the midst of troubles. And these three psalms were said to be penned at that time. So the present one is our subject today. I want you to notice and consider, first of all, that he is the present one, despite the presence of troubles. The present one, despite the presence of troubles. You will notice that not only is God present in the psalm, but other things are present as well. What we might call trouble, calamities, fill this psalm. They are never far away from us. Luther knew about that, didn't he? He knew about calamities. He particularly knew about it in 1527. There were troubles in the church, there were troubles in state, there were troubles in the land, there were troubles in his home, and there were troubles in his heart. He was in the midst of troubles. The terrible plague was approaching. It took grip on his young son, and it was a terrible, trying time for him. The psalmist said about trouble this. He said, trouble is near. And that's true. It's near. It's never far away. Trouble is near. And the psalmist is finding that here. Trouble is near. Psalm 22, that psalm is. And that is the psalm that Christ prayed on the cross. He was the one who knew that trouble was near all the time. Every day he went out the house door, there was trouble that was near. Certainly when he was on the cross, trouble was near. In the form of the Romans, in the form of the Jews, in the form of the pains, in the form of the mockery and shame that he had to bear, trouble is near, Jesus said. And the psalmist is finding that too. Trouble is near. Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles, the psalmist said. The psalmist also said, my soul is full of troubles. That's how near it is. His soul. It's inside him. His soul, it's affecting him inwardly. I'm full of troubles. So that's how near. They're so near to be in the soul. The thing about the Lord Jesus Christ, whenever he had all these troubles on the cross, he had no present one. Do you remember how he started that Psalm 22? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? In the midst of troubles without God. An awful thing. And that was Jesus. That was Jesus. He was forsaken in the midst of troubles, the troubles of bearing our sins. He was forsaken in the midst of that trouble that we might never be forsaken. He went through that loneliness. He was bereft of that divine presence in his trouble, that we in our trouble may never be bereft of it. And so trouble is near. Yes, trouble is present with us, but there's also the present one. And in this psalm then, the trouble seems to be of various kinds. If I just go through it, he uses the illustration of natural calamities in verse 2. Though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. That's a description of natural calamities. An earthquake, a tsunami, a mountain falling into the sea and a tsunami, a terrible natural calamity, a trauma of nature, accidents, tragedies. Those are troubles we have to face sometimes. Natural disasters, accidents, in transport, in home, at work. We face those kind of troubles. And we might include in Luther's psalm here, because this is Luther's psalm particularly, we might include the ravages of plagues and of disease and sickness. That trouble's not far away either. We're in the midst of sickness. We're in the midst of pains. We're in the midst of plagues and diseases. We're in the midst of heart disease and cancers. Never far away. But while it's never far away, we also know this, neither is God. He's the present one. Not only are there the natural catastrophes and the accidents and things, there's also the opposition and the rage and the conflict that comes from the enemies of the gospel, the enemies of our soul. And so the psalmist here talks about the heathen rage. That's a trouble we have to face, the rage of the heathen, the anger against the truth that we bear and the confession that we make. The heathen raged, and if it is in relation to Sennacherib, Jerusalem at that time, they're surrounded by the heathen and they're raging, raging to get into the city, raging to get through to the temple, raging to destroy it and rob it of its treasures and to molest the people. The heathen rage. We have been blessed by peace in our time latterly, but there was a time when the heathen raged and there was violence and there was murder on our streets and there were terrible times. We call them even yet the Troubles. The Troubles. And we were in the midst of the Troubles. And there was violence. And there's warfare in the text. And there is the instruments of war in the psalm. You see that there in the verse 6, verse 9, he talks about wars. He talks about the bow and the spear and the chariot, the vehicles of warfare. They're all outside the city of Jerusalem. We're in the midst of war. We're in the midst of this violent struggle. And so the trouble was really close to them. Jerusalem and King Hezekiah was in the thick of it. Sometimes the psalmist was right in the depths of trouble. Psalm 69, he says, "Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul." That's how near they are. That's how they've come into my soul. He says, sometimes we're just looking at the trouble. It's distant and it doesn't really affect us. But the psalmist says, I'm not looking at it. I'm not looking at the rising rivers. He says, they're flooding into my soul. They're flooding in. He says, I sink in deep mire, where no standing is. I'm come into the deep waters where the floods overflow me. Brethren and sisters, you can't get trouble any closer than that, can you? Pouring right into your soul. Maybe there's someone here this morning, and that's just you. Maybe this is just a psalm for you. They've poured into your soul. You're in the midst of troubles. You're not even thinking of the present one. You're thinking of the presence of the troubles that are overwhelming you. Trouble is always present with us. As I said, there's no getting away from it. We can't escape trouble. Doesn't the Bible say we're born onto it? We can change our jobs. We can even change our location. We can move our home. But we can't get away from trouble. It'll still come and be at our door knocking. Trouble will always be near. That's the way it is, Christian. There's no escaping it. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Now, perhaps that sounds discouraging this morning. But brethren and sisters, it's a fact. And we must face reality. But while it may seem discouraging to focus on the presence of the troubles, this is not meant to be a discouraging sermon. Because there is someone who is nearer than all troubles. And that's what I'm focusing on this morning. Someone who is with us. Someone who is closer than the floods. Someone who is nearer than the rage of the heathen. Someone who is more powerful than
the tsunami or the earthquake that comes into our life, there is someone in the psalm who is with us. The present one. A very present help. He's present. You'll notice the verses 5. God is in the midst of her. You'll notice the verse 7. The Lord of hosts is distant. No. The Lord of hosts is with us. He's with us. And it's repeated again at the end of the psalm, verse 11. He's with us. And so you see, the members of Christ's body are not forsaken. So this is not a discouraging sermon this morning. The Lord doesn't leave when trouble comes. The Lord doesn't leave when 100,000 plus soldiers encamp around about us outside. He doesn't leave. He's a very present help in trouble. He's still there. Despite the presence of troubles, he doesn't leave. Now, as I said, Luther was tempted to leave his city. He wrote a most interesting tract at that time. It was written as the plague was coming nearer, and a nearby pastor was making the inquiry whether it was lawful to flee the advance of a plague. And while Luther said Christians must follow their own conscience, he did say that those who have responsibilities cannot. Governors and rulers cannot leave their people. Counselors cannot leave their town. And pastors cannot leave their congregation. And guardians cannot leave their children. Even in the advance of a plague, in the advance of trouble, you can't leave those that you are responsible for. And that's what I'm trying to say this morning. God doesn't run away. He doesn't leave. Luther didn't leave his flock. He stood before the ravaging and advancing plague and made his own home a hospital. He didn't leave his people, and God doesn't leave his people. He doesn't leave you when you're in the trouble. He doesn't leave you when it comes up like a flood and advances. Present in the midst of troubles, he remains. But not only is he the present one, despite the troubles we face, troubles do not drive him away. Not only is he the present one, he is also the present one to help in troubles. He's a present one to help in trouble. Now, the Lord in the psalm is not merely present to watch. Yes, the Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord of hosts is with us. God is in the midst of her. He's a very present one. But he's not just present to watch, to observe. You know, deism, the God of deism, that's all the God of deism is. He's just an observer. He's not active in his world. He doesn't participate. He doesn't help. He doesn't intervene. He just lets it run the way it is. That's the God of deism, but that's not the God of the Bible. He's present to help. He's present to participate. He's present to be involved with his people. And so our God, the triune God, brethren and sisters, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that we worship and in whose name we have been baptized, our God is not the God of deism. He is the God of the Bible. He is not merely an observer. He is present in the midst of our troubles with us to help us. And that's why this is an encouraging sermon, child of God. We cannot deny your problems and your troubles, but we must by faith remind ourselves there's someone nearer than any trouble. And that present one is near to help. Notice the words,
Do you see how he is present? A very present help in trouble.
God is a helper.
Imagine that. You know, to help someone is a condescending act. And for God to help his creatures is a condescending act. An act of grace, an act of compassion, a very present help.
Present help, child of God. That's what I'm talking about this morning. Present help. Notice the word very as well. It must not be missed.
A very present help. Not imaginary. Not figment of your mind. Not a dream. But a very great reality. A very present help in trouble. The Lord of hosts is with us. And that's why Luther loved this psalm. That's why this is Luther's psalm.
He's in the midst of the floods, in the midst of the mortal ills that he puts in his poetic fashion. He's in the midst of them, but God is also there. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with you. And so that's why he loved the psalm, and that's why he didn't have to fear, and that's why he tried to overcome his fears, and he would sing this psalm. And very often thereafter, when he had problems and fears, he would get his brother Melanchthon into the manse, and they would sing Psalm 46 for their solace and comfort. And so he is the resident God in the midst to help.
And notice how it is expressed in verse 5.
God shall help her. And that right early. That right early. He won't delay. He won't hold back. He'll be quick. He'll be on the scene in an instant, there to give the help and succor and aid. And so the child of God must expect this. And you, child of God, must trust for this in your troubles. The flood will come in someday. It will. It's going to pour in like a flood into your heart. But you must expect this help. You must trust in this presence in the Lord. Give us help from trouble, the psalmist prayed. For vain is the help of man. Unless the Lord had been my help, the psalmist said. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. I would have even given up prayer. Unless the Lord had been my help. And how is he a help? How does he help his people? Well, I will tell you how. From the psalm. Luther's psalm. How did he get help? What was the help he found? What was it that drew him into this psalm to get that comfort? Well, how does God help us? Well, he helps us by being a shelter. God is our refuge. He's a shelter. That's what the word is. Sometimes it's actually translated that. Shelter. Thou hast been a shelter for me. It's the same word. A refuge is a shelter. And three times in the psalm it says this. Three times. He's called a refuge, a shelter. The God of Jacob is our refuge, verse 7. The God of Jacob is our refuge, verse 11. That's the help he gives us. He provides himself as a shelter. Brought in by others? No, he himself is a shelter. He is the refuge. He's a covering. He puts us under the shadow of his wing. There's a place to run. You know what a shelter is, don't you? Whenever it's pouring rain outside, you find a shelter, don't you? Whenever the sun is beaming down in the midday heat in the hot parts of the world, You know what a shelter is, and you can find one. And brethren and sisters, whenever you're in the midst of troubles, you're going to need a shelter. And that shelter is Jesus Christ, under his wings abiding. He provides himself as a covering. There's a place to come. There's a place to flee. There's a place to run into. There's a throne of grace to approach. There is the right hand of God and the covering of Jesus Christ. There is the shadow of his wings. There is a breast to lean upon. God himself is present to help, opening out his wings and saying, "My child, come under my shelter." And the fiery blast will not be allowed to touch you more than he allows. And so you see, he helps by making himself a shelter. Oh, blessed shelter. To pour out your woes, to tell your fears in his ear, to seek his protection, his guidance and his counsel, a place to run into, very near. But he's not only helps by giving himself to be a shelter, he helps also by giving strength. His strength. God is our refuge and strength. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. He imparts strength to the soul, strength to the mind, strength to the will. It's what we need in trial so we don't sink, so we don't bring to dishonor the testimony of the Lord. He bestows to us strength in trials. Luther needed it. Luther obtained it, and it is obtained in the Lord. The Bible talks about the strength of his hand. Many times the Bible uses that expression. You see, his helping hand is there, but it's a strong hand. It's an effective hand, and he sustains us. It upholds us. It carries us through. Seek the Lord and his strength, the Bible says. Oh, I don't have the strength for this. You've heard the bad news. It's cancer. It's terminal. I don't have the strength for this. Seek his strength. The Lord is my strength. It's available. He's present to strengthen you. It's near. It's near. The Lord will give strength unto his people. He is their strength, the psalmist said, in the time of trouble. Expect it. Look for it. Ask for it. The Lord is my strength, Luther said, and the psalmist said, I will go in the strength of the Lord. No, not in your own strength. Oh, I can't go for this treatment in my own strength. I can't go to this situation and into this difficulty and to go and deal with this problem in my own strength. No, of course you can't. But you can go in the strength of the Lord. And the psalmist says, that's the way I'll go. I look for it. And then not only is there shelter and strength, there's sustenance as well for us, because it says here, there's a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. Verse 4, Hezekiah built a tunnel in Jerusalem. It brought the waters into the city. And they had the water, they had the river in the city, even though there was over 100,000 plus outside. There was a stream, a river that made glad the city of God. It provided them refreshment. It gives them sustenance even in the midst of their troubles. And brethren and sisters, the devil will attack us and troubles will surround us, but there is a river, and the enemies of God cannot take it from us. They can never remove it. They can never stop it flowing. The rivers of grace, the rivers of Jesus Christ, the sustenance of our Lord. He sustains us, and he gives us the refreshing waters of his word. Not only is there shelter and strength and sustenance, there is solace, because it says in verse 4, the streams make glad. Oh, there's gladness. Even though the mountains are coming into the midst of the sea, even though the waters are roaring, even though there's the heathen raging, even though there's the terrible chariots outside and all the instruments of war against us aimed, the bow and the spear, we can have gladness because we have Jesus Christ, we have a Savior, we have a Redeemer, and he's our Lord, and we trust in him, and he's our friend, and he bought us with his blood. He's near. He's so near, giving us gladness. Rejoice in the Lord. Even in troubles, his word gladdens us. You know, there are some people who have been in the worst of troubles, and they've been able to testify it's been their best year. Now, how can anybody talk like that? You know how they can talk like that? Because they've drunk at these rivers at that time. And they never really appreciated them until they were all surrounded and besieged and they were shut into them. Whenever God shuts you in with troubles, you have gladness in the word like you never had before. That's why Luther overcome, because he was a man in the midst of troubles who went to the river of the word for gladness. And then lastly, he provides salvation. Deliverance. And you see that in this psalm there is ultimately a great deliverance. God isn't silent in the midst of troubles. You see what it says there in verse 6? The heathen raged. Yes, they raged. He uttered his voice. God spoke too. And he worked. It says, verse 8, come behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease. He breaks a bow. He cuts the spear. He burns up the chariot in the fire. That's the end of it. That's how it all ends. It all ends in its complete removal and our full deliverance from the trouble. That's how it ends. All the bows of the enemy, ultimately they will be cut up. All the spears, ultimately they will be broken. All the chariots, ultimately he will burn them up. Once he utters his voice, the trouble shall go. He brings deliverance. And Hezekiah witnessed that because God intervened. We haven't time to go to the story, but it tells us in a number of passages of Scripture in the Old Testament that the angel of the Lord went forth and he smote the camp of the Assyrians, and over 180,000 people died. And they were all dead corpses in the morning. Because God sent salvation to his troubled people. He delivered them. And this is our ultimate end and our ultimate hope. Psalm 76 tells us about that. He brake the arrows of the bow, the shield also, and the sword and the battle. The stout-hearted are spoiled. These hard battle-worn soldiers have slept their sleep. None of the men of might have found their hands. You know why they can't find their hands? They're dead. They're dead.
They can't fire their bows anymore. They can't throw their spears anymore. They're dead. God has dealt with them. God has dealt with them. He will deal with our troubles. At thy rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and the horse are cast into a dead sleep. That's what happened when God arose. And in this psalm, God arises. And you just go outside and you see all the desolation of what he did. The fire, the chariot, all the bows broken and destroyed. God just intervened. He sent deliverance to Israel. Jacob was redeemed out of all his troubles. And brethren and sisters, ultimately this will take place at the second coming. This is when it will have this grand finale, the great end. Our Lord shall come back again, and he'll redeem us out of all our troubles. And the raging foe will have been destroyed, and the enemies of our soul will have been cut off, and all the instruments of warfare that we fought against will have forever been removed. And so we shall sing this psalm. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. But until that day, we must abide patiently in the trouble, looking out over the wall at the enemy, just trusting and being patient in the midst of all our troubles. And what do we do in trouble in the meantime? What does the Lord want us to do? Well, look at verse 10. He says, "Be still and know that I am God." That's what he says. There's only one true God, and he speaks in this psalm. This is the only verse actually where he speaks. The psalmist has been doing all the talking, but this is the one verse where God comes in and uses the word "I." It's this verse 10. God is speaking to us in our troubles, brethren and sisters. Are you in trouble this morning and you want to know what God is saying to you? This is it. Be still. Trust. Wait. Rest. Be still. Be calm. Listen to the Lord. Just be still at this particular moment. Remember, I'm the present one. Remember, I'm near. Remember that I'm going to be exalted in the earth one day. I'm coming back again. In the meantime, be still and know this, that I am God. That's all there is to do. Just to be still and know and be calm. Troubled soul, let this psalm of Luther's be your solace today. And be still. And know that the present one is God.